All right, let's give the Lord a hand clap one more time. Amen. We've been doing a series called Surge. If you Google that word, surge, from Google's definition, it means to suddenly, say suddenly.
Suddenly.
I like that. Now, there's durations and through faith and patience we inherit, but I like the more, let's move quicker, suddenly, and powerfully, say powerfully.
Powerful.
I like that because don't you know that your God is more than enough? Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Suddenly and powerful. What you could not do on your own. What you could not do on your best day, on the hardest effort. What you could not do on your own, God can do. Because his power is greater. Amen.
Amen.
His power is greater. Amen.
Amen.
Say, suddenly.
Suddenly.
Come on, work with me, second service. Suddenly. We're going to do this three times today, and you're going to be the one that shines the brightest. Come on, somebody. Suddenly, powerfully, move. See, I like that because God doesn't want you just to stay forever at the place you're at. If you're in a valley, you're not called to stay in that valley. God wants you to conquer and move forward. If you're on the top of the mountain celebrating, praise God, but don't get comfortable. God doesn't want you to come down. God wants you to keep climbing higher. There's that mental side of, oh, this is the best it can get. I'm telling you, no, it's not. I'll never be happier than this. Yes, you can.
Yes.
I'll never be healthier than this. Yes, you can. I'll never have a marriage better. Yes, you can. I'll never be more blessed. Yes, you can. Come on, there's always room. There's always room for growth. Did you hear me? There's always, God wants you to keep moving. Hebrews 12 says to run the race set before you. Paul says to run the race as to win it. See, I challenge you on a regular basis to challenge me. Don't take my word for anything. Have you ever heard a preacher say that from a platform? Not too often. Some say, if I said it, just trust me and do it. I'm telling you, challenge everything you hear with the word of God. Because it's not my words, it's God's word. That is a seed, Matthew 13, that produced fruit. There'll be scriptures I'll throw on the screen. There'll be scriptures I'll give you the reference and quote, and there'll be scriptures I'll just quote. Why do I do it that way? Because I want you, based on your level of hunger and maturity, to dig deeper and challenge it. Don't be spoon-fed your whole spiritual life. If everything is, every revelation you have is comes from me telling you and explaining it to you, then you'll become like a baby bird waiting for God to give you a revelation. Well, when pastor will explain it to me, then I'll have it. No, you can get it on your own. Amen. It's okay to get fed like through a bottle when you're a baby, but if you're 40 years old and someone's still feeding you and burping you and all that, something's dysfunctional. So you can receive from the house of God, but there's also some growing that can be happening. So we want that environment, that culture to be in your walk with God, that you hear something and are like, I don't remember that, or is that right? Well, challenge it. Amen. Write some notes. Get home and say, I'm going to dig deeper and figure out. And as you dig deeper, guess what? You're going to start growing. And you're going to find that God can speak to you in your own time with him. Amen. God can speak to you in your own time with him when you're praying and reading the word. And that's when you begin to see God even open up in a greater level. So suddenly, powerfully move. God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to keep growing. Hebrews 12, keep moving. It's a race. Suddenly, to move. Proverbs 4 says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter. See, I'm getting brighter. See, I'm shining brighter. Say, my future
is brighter
than my past. New Testament says we go from glory to glory to glory. See, religion will tell you have high peak moments and you got to come back to the real world. And high peak moments and come back. No, you could go from glory to glory. Your current high can be your new norm. Your current victory can be your new norm. You could get to that place where you're blessed or healed and happy, that becomes your minimum. Anything below, you start crying. You know you have a minimum, right? People start crying when they get below their minimum. Say, that don't bother me, and they start screaming, help me, Jesus. Well, don't wait till the bottom of the barrel. You know what I mean? Joel Osteen's dad used to say, don't wait till the bottom of the barrel before you cry, help me, Jesus. You get to take serious action to it. Set a new standard that when you get just a little bit below, you say, wait a minute, help me, Jesus. And you start pursuing the word of God and prayer and fighting the challenge that would try to steal from you. Because Jesus said in John 10:10, there is a thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. And life more abundantly. suddenly, powerfully move. God wants you to keep shining until that completed day. Move forward and upward. Move forward and upward. And just like Abraham, God called him out of that tent. Why? Because he saw himself in Genesis. He said, what is it that you give me a reward? I mean, God shows up at your tent and says, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abram begins to argue with God. Wouldn't you want to just a pistol slap him right there, beat him down? You mean what? I showed up. I'm talking to you and you're saying, what's the big deal? What reward you're going to give me? And that's what he did. God shows up. Can you imagine how cool that would be? You wake up and there's the presence of God in your, I mean, it might be just an angel showing up. You're like, what are you doing? See, that's what I think an angel's going to sound like, a really bright light, right? You wake up. If you ever close your eyes and you're waking up and you hear, open slowly, it might be an angel. And if it is, make sure you got your phone so you can videotape it. You get a lot of views on YouTube with that one. And he shows up and says, I'm your shield and exceeding great reward. And Abram has the audacity, which is a little boldness in his relationship with God, and says, what is it that you can give me seeing I go childless? And God said, well, he didn't argue with them. He didn't say, Abram, you're a bad person. He didn't say, Abram, that was it. You've blown it. You have messed. I will never come to your place again. It's over. No, he said, let me help you. I'm so thankful that Jesus looks at us today when we get it wrong and says, let me help you. Let me show you. Let me teach you. Let me help you along. I mean, the disciples made all kinds of mistakes, didn't they? But he didn't get frustrated. He said, let me help you. And God brought Abram out and said, look at the stars. That's how your children are going to be. Look at the stars. What was he doing? Giving him a vision, a picture of his destiny. Because God already sees it. The Bible says that God sees equally clearly the end from the beginning. So he sees your future as well as he does your present, your past. Everybody freaks out about their past, but if you repented, it's under the blood, it's dealt with. God's wanting you to look to your future. The devil pushes your pressure to the past. God said, I want to lead you to your future. Let me show you what I see in you. Let me show you what I see in you. And he sees great things because he has purchased you with his blood. He has placed his seed, his nature in you. Hallelujah. That's what Paul was saying, to work out your salvation. He wasn't saying put works to become saved. He said what God has already begun, that good work, continue it, develop it. Allow God, the word of God, like a seed, Matthew 13, to produce the fruit, the change in your life. And when God begins Matthew 13, like a seed to produce fruit, you don't have to brag on you. You just brag on Jesus. I don't know much about trees, and I can walk by a tree and not know what type of tree it is, but when I walk by a tree that has apples on it, I need no spiritual discernment on it's an apple tree. Can you imagine walking by and say, Pastor, why are you stopping by that tree and praying? I'm going, Lord, show me. Jesus, open my eyes to see what kind of tree this is in my back. Pastor, that is an apple tree. Don't you see the apples? Stay with me. Don't you see? You don't have to be spiritually discerned to know an apple tree when you see the apples. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. Amen. You don't have to tell people who you are if you're really it. You don't have to tell me you're generous if you're generous. All I have to do is be with you long enough and I'm going to see, wow, that person's generous. You don't have to tell me how kind and gracious you are. If you're kind and gracious, all I have to do is be around you for a few minutes, and I'm going to say, wow, that person's kind and gracious. We have such a smoke and mirror mentality in the church world today that a lot of people talk what they're not. See, and they have to brag on themselves. I mean, I've been around even some ministers, God love them, and they're bragging. 5 minutes. It don't only take me long. 5 minutes of talking to them, I've already diffused what they said they were doing. Well, is that really? And as they open up, the truth behind the curtain is different what they're saying in front of the. See, I don't got time to be messing around and being foolish. We got to be real. Amen? No one's perfect but Jesus. We're all growing. So don't feel bad if you haven't got it all figured out. Nobody has. But there's a tendency of people to act what they're not, to say what they're doing, but they're not really doing. And I'm telling you, as a believer, you don't have to talk yourself up if you're the real deal. Even the sinners will see a difference. How do I get that? Matthew 13 said, all nations, sinner, heathen, Atheists, all nations will call you blessed. Why? Because they'll see something different in you. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. So God wants you to keep growing. God wants you that word to bring a change into your life. God wants that change to happen even if everybody's against you. Have you ever had anybody against you? Nobody, just a few of us? Have you had anybody ever lie about you? See, when you begin to see God change on a positive change in your life and shape the way you begin to think different, you begin to become positive, you become gracious, you become generous, you become loving, whatever it might be, you become more successful, you become blessed, you become healed, you become happy. You would think people would be happy that you just became happy. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it real. You would think if you just went to a whole nother level of joy, you became happy, everybody would be happy that you're happy. But if you found out in life, not everybody's happy that you're happy. Some people are only happy if you're sad. Right? You're like, what's the deal? But I'm glad to tell you that you don't have to get everybody to like you or to be happy or to be backing you or be for you to you to get what God has you to have or for you to do what God wants you to do or for you to become what God wants you to become or for you to reach who God's called you to reach. David said it. You prepared a table of provision in the midst of my enemies. One translation says, while my enemies have to look on. I'm telling you, the key for your victory is not people getting it. Praise God for networks. Praise God for connections. But if you have none, that doesn't mean you're stuck. All you need is Matthew 13, the seed of God's word, and that seed will produce fruit after its own kind. You get a healing seed and you plant healing seeds in your heart. Guess what? You're going to get a healing revelation, a healing experience, and you're going to see healing produced in your physical body. I'm trying to get to my notes. We haven't got there yet, but we're getting there. Because it's all in the seed of God's word, not in the opinions of people. James says faith without works is what? Dead, which means produce no effect. But when you have obedience to the revelation that came out of the information of God's word, so I'm saturating my mind, not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And as I saturate my mind, the word of God, specifically on the area that I'm needing some revelation on, I need a change in my health. I need a change in my finances. I need a change in my peace. I need a change in my strength. I need a change, whatever area, I start getting information. How many times you've heard people say they're believing for something? Ask them how many Christian books they bought on the subject. Don't shout me down. Don't you realize that we are in a technology and day and age that any challenge that you will ever face, someone has already faced it and got a key victory from the Word of God and written a book on it? God, I need more money. Well, have you gotten? The Bible says in Proverbs that wisdom walks to the streets calling out for people. What happens? We want God just to bring the package. Oh, Lord, I need a blessing. And you go to the mailbox looking for an unmarked envelope full of cash. No, that's not it. I need a healing. And you're just waiting for God to show up. No, the Bible says that he sent his word to heal him. You need a word. You need a word. Don't get quiet on me. I'm going to mess with you in a second service. You need a word. You need a word from God into your heart because it's a seed that will produce a change that cannot be stopped by the enemy. And he don't want you to have the word. And so many people, it's a human nature. We just want it quick, and we don't want to get information. We don't want to get a revelation. But if you begin to get serious and say, God, I need this change in my life. And so for me to get that change, I need action. For me to get action, it's just not me doing it. It's me doing it based on what I believe. And for me to believe, I have to hear. Faith, Romans. And for me to hear, I have to go get it. How hungry are you for your next season to surge? How hungry are you? We think just because we're tried and we meant good and we're a Christian that it should all work out. And there's a lot of Christians that never reach their destiny because they never tried in line with the kingdom principles of God's word. Get the word. Get some good anointed men and women of God that have written some books on that. You begin to meditate on that. Watch what happens. You'll become stirred up. You'll become built up. Joshua 1, verse 6, 7, 8. You'll become strong and courageous because that word, you're meditating on it. Am I helping somebody today? Hallelujah. It puts the pressure responsibility back on us, not on society, not on the government, not on our parents, not on our zip code, not on our past. Well, if I'd only didn't have this happen to me, I would be better. Could be, but you can still break out of that. You have free opportunity to pursue the word and get the word into your life in such a way. But people might call me radical. Let them call you radical until you begin to shine with the fruit of change in your life. And then they're going to call you the trailblazer. They're going to call you the one that's helped them out. They're going to call you you need to talk to this person. Have you noticed that when you do what everybody, it's that sense of common familiar ground that makes us friends. Your friends, you have something in common with, but it's what makes you unique that makes you excel. And we want to be liked. Today, I want to move a little farther because as you are progressing, as you are surging, as you are moving to your next season that God has for you, as you are growing in the things of God, you would think people would be happy that you became happy, but not everybody's happy that you just became happy. Not everybody's excited that you just got a raise. Not everybody's excited that you just got a promotion. Not everybody's going to be excited, and they will try to discourage you. They will try to persecute you, and if you don't understand what is happening in this process of persecution, you will pull back. And the Bible says we are not people that are to pull back the reins. That's right. It's like somebody driving down the highway and they're going down a hill on the highway and there's no cars around them and they're going slower than even the speed limit. And they're riding the brake. And you think, what is their problem? They have the room. The car has the ability. They have the opportunity. But something on the inside of them, they're not comfortable with going any faster, and they ride the brake. Are you riding the brake of your life today? Sometimes it's easy to blame the devil that we're not moving ahead. But sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's we're riding the brake. And we're like, I don't want to have more. I don't want to do more. I don't want to become more. I want to see more, because if I see more, you know, not everybody's going to be happy, because the last time they talked about me, the last time I lost some friends, the last time, you have to realize that persecution can and will come, but God wants you to shine, not just for you, but for other people. Not just for you, but for other people. 1 Peter, let me give you this reference, write it down. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Notice this, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants you to know. Let me back up a little. In King James, there's a peculiar people. I'm going to touch base with that because that doesn't mean you're weird. Okay, the way we read peculiar. If you look at that word in the original text, it doesn't mean you're weird. There are weird people in the church. I'll give it that. Why? I don't know. The only thing I can come to the conclusion is, as Christians, we teach people to love and be accepting, and weird people know that's the only place they get acceptance and they show up. But not everybody who loves Jesus is weird. I'm just telling you. They're weird before they got saved, right? Come on, I'm being real. Are you being real with me? Don't look at me like, oh. We all know people in the church that are just a little weird. We love them. We're praying Jesus is trying to get that weirdness out of them. But that's not what it's saying. Peculiar literally means in that you are like a prized possession of God. That you should declare, show forth his praises, who's brought you, called you out of darkness into his light. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes you to triumph in Christ. I'm going to jump right from King James to God Word Translation. But check it out. Challenge it. God's word translation switches right there and says, continues on and says, so that wherever you go, you become like an aroma of victory of what it means to know Christ. See, God will use your, like a billboard, God will use your victories, the changes that he brings from his word and the power of his spirit into your life. So where the people that know you, that are around you, that are rubbing shoulders with you can say, wait a minute, you're changing. Wait a minute, you're happier. Wait a minute, you're better. And all of a sudden, God is using what he's doing in your life to flow through your life to let people know it's good to know Jesus. It's good to know Jesus. Let me just say that one more time. It's a good thing to know the Lord. There's a lot of people that got that message all messed up, and you think that Jesus is making their life harder. No, it's good to know the Lord. See, that's why we don't even put pressure on people to get saved. If somebody wants to go to hell, we love them. They're welcome to go to hell. Go to hell if you want to go to hell. We know it's not the right place. It's not the right choice, but I can't override your will. But I will never lower the standard of who Jesus is. He is not a broken down, second-rate car that you have to sell like a used car salesman before and to trick somebody. I don't need to trick somebody to know the Lord. I don't need to short sell it or trick people or pressure people. He's so good. If you don't want him, move on. But I'm still going to tell you, and I'm still going to love, and I'm still going to live it, and I'm still going to enjoy. It's good to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we just keep trying to pressure him to get saved, to come to church. Let him go. If you're not the one to reach him, God has the right person. Let him go. Sometimes we're the ones holding God up from even working with them. They might need to have a little pit experience to wake up and say, what am I doing here? This is not, because there's too many people living in the world on their way to hell that have come out of church, but in their mind, they got the mindset, oh, my grandma's going to pray me out of hell. No, she won't. No, she won't. No, she can't. She can't override your will, and they will split hell wide open thinking somebody else is responsible to get them to heaven. We're going to heaven. We're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to serve him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love people as we love ourselves. And we got a seat on the bus for you. But if you don't want to, God bless you. We're not stopping for anybody. We're going to move to follow the hand of God in every area of our life. But not everybody likes that. Some people, you know what I mean? They're going to talk about it. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes you triumph, that wherever you go, you can be an aroma of God's goodness and victory in your life. Jesus knew there'd be a tendency to pull back. If you look to the screen, let me show you this reference out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. Notice Jesus is talking about being a light. And he goes on to say, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. What does that mean? You don't light something and hide it. You don't light something and hide it. If you hide it, you'll eventually blow it out. It'll be snuffed out. You don't light something to hide it. What do you do with it? You put it on the candle. You put it up and so that it gives light to everybody in the room. One translation says so that it benefits everybody in the room. You put it up in a position so that it shines. See, God wants you to shine, not to draw attention to you. He wants you to shine to draw attention to him. And not everybody's going to like that light. For John 1 says that he was a light to the world, and men chose darkness rather than light. They're not all going to like you. And there's a tendency when they don't like you or like it. I'm not saying be weird. I'm not saying to take 10 minutes to stand up a minute. And when you're at a Cracker Barrel or when you're at Chick-fil-A and begin to pray real loud, oh, God bless this food. Now, don't be weird. Don't be waiting. Can we get your order? Well, I'm looking for the Lord to tell me number two or number three. Don't be weird. Okay. But when you are shining and seeing God bless you to be a blessing, it's not for your benefit. It's for other people's benefit too. It's not all about you. It's not to draw attention to you. It's so that people can see that there is a God. Did David say that to Goliath? I'm going to cut your head off. God's going to give you to me today, and the world's going to know that there is a God in Israel who saves, not by sword and shield. I'm telling you, there's people at your work. There's people in your neighborhood. There's people in your family. And somebody needs to show them the truth that there is a God who is still alive and answers prayers and makes a difference and not just this religious routine of legalism of what you can't do, what you have to do, and nobody has any substance or real relationship and no life. No, no, and a third time, no. They need to know that Jesus is real and he can make a difference in your life. Why would you ever pull back unless there was tension or persecution? Let's look at another verse, because the Bible says by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Let's go to Mark's Gospel chapter 10. Mark's Gospel chapter 10. Jesus said, and in the context of this, Peter just said, we have given everything to follow you. And Jesus is saying, listen, anybody who's given up houses or lands or family to follow me shall receive, notice, he shall receive 100 times now. Stay with me. In this time, in this life, say this life. So don't give me, oh, when you give, you'll get a blessing in heaven. Amen to that. But there's also a blessing on earth. When you obey God, there's a crown in heaven. Praise God. But there's a victory on the earth. Why? Because your heavenly Father is so good. Notice, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, and children, and lands, and the world to come, eternal life. See, that's how I like to read it. He'll receive 100-fold now in this life with persecution. Right? Have you ever read it that way? 100-fold return with persecution. Why would he slide that in there? Because we need to know that when he's blessing you, when he's giving you victory, not everybody's going to like it. And if you want everybody to like it, you'll have a tendency of pulling back. If you want everybody to agree with you, you'll have a tendency of pulling back. If you want everybody to applaud about it, you will. When they don't, you'll be like, I can't believe they don't like it. I can't believe they don't agree. I can't believe they're not for me. I can't believe they're talking about not being my friend anymore. And you will have a natural tendency of pulling back or putting the light out. Persecution comes. It's not that you want it. It's not that you invite it. But if you don't know what's going on with it, you will have a human tendency to stay at your season, stay at your level, because you're concerned who might not like your next success. And though God doesn't want it to happen, it's a part of it. Can you imagine? We're out of time, but let me just throw. And so we're gonna talk about how does it play out? What's the benefit for you when you handle it correctly? And what is the purpose in other people's lives when they don't handle it correctly? We're going to talk about that next week. But since we're in the political stage, let me end with this. Can you imagine anybody running for president and wanting only nice things to be said about them? We laugh about this because this political season has been the craziest political. Folks, at least, you can say it this way. At least we're making history. You know what I mean? This is going to be written in the history books. I'm just telling you, this is going to be remembered. Now, here's my perspective, and you might like it or dislike it, and I love you no matter which way you slant on this. And I got friends on people that I care about on all different sides. Enough that I can have a dialogue and conversation, and we can agree even to disagree sometimes, okay? But here's my point of view. It's not my job to tell you how to vote. I challenge you to do this. One, get information, and don't use one news station to get all your information, okay? Have you ever noticed they all have certain talking points, and they're always like, so get information, pray, Lord, show me what to do. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And third, just vote. That's your American thing to do. And after you do those things and done your American thing, then they'll forget that more important than any of it is to be the Christian. Amen. And to love people that even don't agree with you. We could love people that are complete opposite, polar opposite of a belief. We can still love and care about them. But I will tell you this, the world's not coming to an end because of one or the other party getting in. I've been around politics for a long time now, and this is not the first time you've heard the, if they get in, everything's going to fall apart, and they're both sides are saying it, right? Republicans are saying about the Democrats, Democrats are saying about the Republicans, and no one's talking about the Independent or Green Party because they don't have enough votes, but that's okay, they're still on the ballot. But anyway, so the thing about it is don't get overwhelmed. Don't get in fear. Get information, pray, vote, and then be a believer. Jesus said that if you just love people that agree with you, what difference are you? Love those who even hate you sometimes. We can love people even if they're trying to persecute because they don't agree with you. We'll get more into that next time. But on this political side, please don't get in fear. Please don't be overwhelmed. Please don't take the... It's for ratings that they make things. OMG moment. Emotionally high. That's for ratings, which means the more eyeballs or views they get, the more money they can charge for commercials, which means the more money they make. You got to understand that. It is what it is. All right? The world never comes to an end. God is still on the throne. Amen. And at the end of the day, I'm not saying stay at home and do nothing. No, do your part. But at the end of the day, Jesus is still Lord, and his will be done. Yeah.